Dr. Zeynep Tufekci.
Say that three times fast.
I can't. I could barely say it one time.
Welcome to The Geek in Review, the podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal industry. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. Marlene, we are hunkering down, awaiting Hurricane Laura to come on shore later this afternoon. So I'm hoping that the power will stay on long enough for us to at least record this episode.
My lights are flickering. I don't know.
So everyone wish us both luck as Marlene goes through her first Houston hurricane.
Yeehaw! We no longer have snow days for school, but we do have hurricane days.
True.
I did get everything from outside that can fly away inside. I got water, I got gasoline, I got coolers to fill with more water, and most importantly, powdered sugar donuts.
Oh yeah, that's a must.
Right, because it ain't a hurricane without powdered sugar donuts. Oh, and beer, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Beer and donuts.
Beer.
It's what's for hurricane dinner.
Well, for me, it's what's for dinner every night, so... So hopefully we'll make it through this without a problem. I think it's probably going to go a little bit east of us, so fingers crossed. But enough of that. Let's jump into this week's information inspirations. So Marlene, we talk a lot about data scientists, but it actually may be more the social scientist like Dr. Zeynep Tufekci, an associate professor at the University of North Carolina School of Library and Information Scientist.
Woo-hoo!
So, yeah, go librarians. Mm-hmm. So those are the actual voices that we may need to listen to. So Dr. Tufekci has gotten a number of things right over the past 20 years. And in fact, she just was in a New York Times article that says just exactly that. But especially when it comes to how people react during a crisis and how manipulating people via technology will almost always have negative outcomes. So the most recent example was her fight back in March with the CDC, when at the time, you may recall, the CDC was actually advising that only medical personnel wear masks and that the public would not benefit from wearing of protective gear. And it turned out mostly because the CDC was afraid there would be a run on the protective gear.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
She has been very quick to spot when government leaders, as well as some of the tech leaders out there, have these ulterior motives in trusting the public with the truth. While we live in a society that exists within our little filter bubbles of belief, Dr. Tufekci mentions that we can't manipulate the truth in order to try to work around it. She stated that, quote, "We think of the society as this Hobbesian thing as opposed to the reality where most people are very friendly and most people are prone to solidarity. It's hard to see at the moment with everything so politicized that her suggestion to focus less on spinning the information to fit the narrative and let's get back to the old boring days where, you know, nameless experts and bureaucrats come out with reports that analyze the information and, you know, give us a conclusion on what's the best possible reaction that we can do and get from the public." On a side note, I learned that she was a keynote speaker at a prior Cali conference.
Oh, nice.
So, thanks Debbie Ginsburg for pointing it out. And I'll put a link to that on the show of her presentation at the Cali conference.
So as a newly minted consultant, I took advantage of the new LinkedIn Premium. And I've gotten some really interesting connections. And one of those is David Heimbuch, who's the founder at Hydrant, which is a startup in the home repair space. Now, in this model, firefighters are the people who are handling your home repairs. So you're contracting out to a firefighter who is on his or her off schedule time. So for anyone who doesn't know, firefighters, you know, generally work a couple weeks on or so. They live at the station and then they have a couple weeks off at home. This is essentially the gig economy for firefighters. And the cool thing about this model is it has adapted. So it's already moved into a B2B model where companies are calling for the services. And some firefighters are supervising COVID testing sites as a result of that. Now, I'm still noodling about how Hydrant can secure a foothold in the legal ops space. And it has me thinking about how we can use previously unidentified resources to support legal ops and innovation. Now, I think there might be some rich opportunities here. And in the meantime, if you want to invest in the Kickstarter program, we have a link on the blog.
So, Marlene, my second inspiration is getting the lawyers here in Texas talking about the possibility of their clients being served via their social media or their Twitter account. Yeah. The Texas Supreme Court unanimously approved a proposed amendment to Rule 106 here in Texas of the Rules of Civil Procedure last week that allows for a plaintiff to serve a defendant in a civil lawsuit, quote, electronically by social media, email, or other technology. So this seems to be available to plaintiffs who have tried all other options of either face-to-face service or through certified or registered mail, and that didn't work. The court is currently allowing for public comment, but it seems like this is probably a done deal. And beware, you might be served via your Twitter account after December 31st.
That is absolutely fascinating. It's like Twitter legitimized as a communication medium. Yeah. It's like not just to rage or post memes, you know, like we do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there will be some test cases starting on January 1st.
Oh, I'm sure. So speaking of raging, I hinted on LinkedIn that a recent New York Times article should be an inspiration. And so it shall be. Is facial recognition a form of protected speech under the First Amendment? Well, Floyd Abrams, you've heard of him, right, Greg? Mm-hmm. is sure. going to make an argument for his new client, Clearview AI.
Oh, boy.
So this is making me insane, Greg, as a huge supporter of First Amendment rights, but also a big proponent of privacy rights and ethical AI, my head is just exploding at the moment.
Yeah.
So Clearview AI scrapes billions of photos. That's billions with a B, Greg, of social media and sells access to the database to law enforcement.
Yeah.
Police upload photos and the app matches faces and then brings up other related pictures. Now, Abrams says the premise of the case is the right of the company to create and disseminate information. But do they really create it though? Or is it taken without consent? While people agree to various privacy policies on social media platforms, are they agreeing to this? Is it intended to be public speech? Is it public speech? This is really going to be a fascinating case and has the potential to set some groundbreaking precedent. And that wraps up this week's Information Inspirations.
Andrea Markstrom not only had to jump into the deep end of taking a new role at CIO at her law firm, she did it while the firm was right at the beginning of merging with another firm. And if that wasn't enough, a major pandemic hit less than 10 weeks into her gig, Marlene.
Yep. That, when it rains, it pours,
it
right?
It does. So she's pretty good at handling multiple problems at the same time. But believe it or not, that's not really why we asked her on the show today. So we actually wanted to talk to her about one of her other passions, and that's the passion to help other women professionals, not just in the legal industry, but across the spectrum. So Andrea started the I Will Foundation to do just that, and we wanted to learn more about her efforts in collaborating and leading other professional women.
Andrea Markstrom is the CIO for Taft, Tenius, and Hollister. She's also the founder and CEO of I Will, Inspiring Women, Igniting Leadership, and Learning. Andrea, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Andrea, you and I talked a few months ago for my In Seclusion podcast, and you were, at that time, had been tossed into the deep end there at Taft as you had just started as the firm CIO at the beginning of the year. So before we jump into the I Will, I want to just check in on you and see how you've been doing since then.
A bit crazy. Needless to say, it's been very busy. Definitely went in heads down, learning just about the firm and meeting the firm and my new role. And right off the start, too, I don't know if everybody is aware, but we combined firms as well right at the jump start of the year. So we were very busy integrating our two firms. And then with the pandemic, quickly pivoted to ensure everybody could successfully work from home. And throughout that whole period of time, continue to work on integration and whatever we can do to provide innovative and value-added services, not only for internally for our firm, but also for our clients. So it's been busy, but it's going really well.
Good.
Okay, so you have a merger happening, and then you have the pandemic happening. How are you adjusting to sort of getting people to know one another and communicate and collaborate without the ability to actually go and meet one another?
So like many firms, we quickly deployed collaboration technology. So be it Zoom, Cisco's platform, and working alongside not only internally, but with our clients on, you know, whatever collaboration platform is required and needed, we provide that and that's available, and quickly got everybody up to speed. That adoption rate went skyrocketing. I think, a silver lining that we were able to see as one of the outcomes of the pandemic is that we got really close together very quickly. Combining two firms, part of it was getting to know each other. And right before the pandemic, we had a partner retreat, as well as I did what I call the listening campaign and went out and met as many people as possible. And then with the pandemic, we continued to bring everybody together daily, you know, daily stand-ups. We created task forces with various partner groups and the administrative teams. And it was a constant conversation that we started immediately. We really focused on employee engagement, knowing that everyone they have a different situation with what they're going through. And just to be very mindful of our employees and staff and make sure that they're safe and also that they can be heard. And there's a forum for that. Along with our collaboration platform, it's that constant conversation, and over-communicating is something that we did.
Well, it sounds like you didn't let the crisis go to waste, that everyone kind of was focused in being able to kind of speed up the process that would normally take probably a year or two to do.
Right. And, you know, what was important for us is to make sure we listened to understand what people needed. I think that was the key, is just really getting that understanding and then delivering upon that.
So, Andrea, we wanted to talk with you about the project that you created back in 2017 called I Will. Tell us a little bit about the story behind creating I Will.
Yeah, one of my dreams has always been to create a space or a forum for women to support each other. One of my passions is empowering women, and I've always wondered, how can I create that forum and how can we come together? Just quick story on how I Will really came to be. Prior to my role at Taft, I was the CIO for a firm out of New York, and I was one of those commuters. So I commuted back and forth every week from Minnesota to New York. Did not know many people in New York and attended dinners and events and started meeting some amazing women leaders, not necessarily from law firms, not necessarily from technology, women from all different industries and different roles and levels. And I asked them, you know, are there any women's professional networking groups here in New York to, you know, that I could start to be involved with? And there's some fantastic, amazing organizations. I found some of them to be exclusive, so, you know, at C-level only, or women in technology, or women in legal tech. And some of the women that I met, I thought, you know what, this has been one of my dreams. I'd like to try to start this and to make it a forum that's all-inclusive. So not specific to a certain industry or a certain level. Let's make this wide open for all women, all roles, all levels, and start. And I spoke with a couple of my friends, one, Lisa Potick, she's with Seclora now on the I Will Advisory Board, say, all right, if I set this up, will you come? and asked a couple of other people, if I build it, will you come? And I just said, it's time to start. I've always thought when you can get incredible women together, we can do incredible things together. And it's time to start. So that is how the initial meeting came to be. And I'll fast forward to today. So I Will, we have now chapters in New York, New Jersey, Minnesota, soon to launch in Fort Lauderdale, hopefully in Houston, Marlene,
if you yes.
as the lead, I would love that. We have over 400 members and continually growing every week. So it's been just grassroots growth and really fun to watch it.
Well, let's dive into the organization itself. Can you just tell me what the mission of I Will is?
Yeah. So our statement on who we are and what we want to do is we're an inclusive forum for women from all industries, all professional levels, to network, inspire, and learn from each other. And that's really key. We are strong women. We are smart women. We have experience. And we all have a story to share, and we can learn from each other. And that is the base foundation, is learning and inspiring each other, or learning from each other and inspiring each other in all levels, in, you know, be it helping women accelerate their career, or helping women if there is a challenge that they're going through within their, not only professional, but perhaps their personal life. We can all generally relate to that and help each other. And it's a forum to lift each other up. And maybe I'll mention, you know, as part of the mission, we've got really what I would call three pillars to IWIL. So we started with the networking events and continue that. Initially, they were in person, and I really miss being able to do those in person. But we've shifted our events to now being online. And it's been, initially, it was somewhat of a shift for me. I didn't know how that would work. But it's been really a fun experience to watch, because our reach has grown significantly. I mean, we've got women from all over the country that are now a part of our networking events. So the networking component has always been part of IWIL, and having a speaker to talk about an important topic or a topic that is interesting to our community is what we do with our networking events, and then always have that networking component. So at the end, we save time for, we do Zoom breakout rooms. So in smaller groups, people can really get an opportunity to get to know each other and to share stories and to learn from each other. So the networking piece is one pillar. The second pillar is, I always believe in giving back and paying it forward. And throughout IWIL, we've partnered with some amazing nonprofit organizations that really focus on supporting women and have provided thousands of dollars in donations back to those organizations. A couple of examples: in New York, we support the Coalition for the Homeless. They have a program called First Step, which helps women that, you know, have been in a situation where either they are homeless or find that, you know, they need to try to get back into their career. And that program provides them the building blocks to do so. And where we can help, not only in monetary donations, but also helping them write their resumes or help do role play with interviewing and help them launch back into a career. In Minnesota, we recently partnered with the Tubman Organization, helping women and families in a domestic abuse situation, and help provide various programs, but also resources so they can get back on their feet. The aspect of giving back is our second pillar. And the third pillar is we just launched a grant fund called IWIL Accelerate. And that is all about what we say is helping women launch their dreams. And it's an investment fund to help women start their businesses, be it small or large. We'd like to contribute, we'd like to invest, and we'd like to help wherever we can. So those are really our three pillars that makes up IWIL.
So, Andrea, besides yourself, who else is involved in the leadership of IWIL?
You know, I can't say enough about, I mean, IWIL would not be IWIL without our amazing advisory board. So I'm grateful and lucky to have, I mean, just, we've got an advisory board that is very generous and giving of their time. And I can't say enough for their help. And just, I'd just like to mention the advisory board. And again, that is what this is all about, is coming together to empower and lift women. So it's members from the community: Sean Swearingen, Christy Burke, Norma Knudsen, Shannon Demaray, Anna McGrain, Ekta Wall, Lisa Popatic, Julie Koch, Chris Van Hort, Cami Holtz, Jean Marie Boswell, Carla Olick, Teresa Piazza, Gina Petrella, Nita Sanger, Janice Rahm, Kim Barrett, and Shamla Lando. I mean, that's my tribe. We hear often, like, building your tribe, and that's what IWIL is. It's building your tribe, and we are here to do that for women across the country.
What do you do to attract new members into the organization and other kind of speakers and participants as well?
We've been so, I'll just say, I'm just grateful. It's been word of mouth, and it's been a very grassroots effort. People invite their colleagues. their friends. It's been very grassroots and very, I'm just grateful for people spreading the word. And that's what we ask is, you know, that people spread the word. And it's, we really focus on the fact that we are all inclusive. And so we have our members span from, we've got, you know, C-levels to fashion designers, to photographers, to entrepreneurs, to startup founders, to students. We have some students from Brooklyn Law School, for example, from NYU. So it's really, we, you know, invite everyone. The other piece too, it's free of charge to join. So
you don't have an excuse not to join.
No, exactly.
I mean, you've been going on since 2017. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the accomplishments that you're proud of?
Yeah, I will. The first is just being that forum or that platform for women to come together and learn from each other. So I'll focus a little bit on just some of the examples of the networking events that we've had. And we've been blessed with having some amazing speakers. For example, we just launched a series called Stories of Strength, where we brought together three speakers that spoke about some of their challenges that they've been through. One lost their business and what she went through and how she came back. The other, you know, some personal challenges and starting a business, but having some personal challenges with family and how did she manage that? And the theme around that is it takes perseverance and resilience to continue to move forward and to thrive and to succeed. Part of that event is, and I think that's really the community speaks to itself, is having that space where people can really talk about some personal stories, and they do. They share very personal stories, and that's one way where we've been able to learn not only from them, but then we take some time at the end to network with each other. And people, I mean, it's about opening up and sharing what you're going through. And you get some great advice and input right from there. We launched another series recently talking about having those difficult conversations, or how to have the conversation about talking about race, politics, or gender in the workplace. That extended into how do you have that conversation with your family or with your friends. And with all of the unrest that has happened recently, it's been really tough and tough to have some of those conversations. And how do you start them? We were just grateful to have some amazing speakers join us for that event. Jillian Powers, she's the CIO for Lathrop, and Kim Barrett, the paralegal administrator for Latham, talked about their experiences and what they've gone through, either as a person of color or transgender, and how to have those conversations. And super powerful to learn from them, not only what they went through, but what can we learn to have those conversations productively and be able to either be a part of bringing goodness throughout, you know, maybe within the workplace, but also within your community. Another event that was just, I can't say enough about the need that I think a number of us are going through, is reflecting on who we are and our careers. And I know some folks are in transition. I mean, with the pandemic, I know a number of businesses have suffered, and it's really caused for people to pause and reflect on who they are, what they want. And so we had, she's incredibly inspiring, Corey Cotton. She's Associate General Counsel for one of the large financial institutions, Grammy-winning artist. She's been singing and forever, and we were blessed to have her talk about her program called Accelerating Your Career. And so what do you need to do? What steps do you need to take to continue to grow who you are and grow your career? Some of the learnings from that is, and really the empowering message, is it's time to step out of your box and take the courage and drive forward. Part of that is creating your community all around you. She had a great message, sisters investing in sisters. And, you know, that is I will all around. It's creating that community. So those are a few examples of our networking events that I'm really proud that we've been able to deliver. And the other piece I'll mention is through this community, it's been really fun to observe just different relationships happening, different friendships. We've seen people take career trajectories off to another industry that through meeting people through these events that they've been able to really take and launch for themselves. So it's been a really fun observation.
Well, I mean, I love this message of outreach to one another and the community, you know, sharing your knowledge with others to sort of help them get through similar circumstances. And also the notion of the community support, particularly now when, you know, so many people are really struggling. This is just really a wonderful thing. So, I commend you. I'm going to shift for a second and talk a little bit about virtual meetings. As with most everybody, you know, meetings of I Will have gone virtual. So how are you able to leverage the virtual meetings to move the mission that we discussed forward?
So shifting from in-person to virtual, I didn't know if that was going to work. We went in with the approach of let's try it. It was very similar to how we've started I Will. Let's try it.
Because these are very sensitive, they're sensitive conversations, right? I mean, that's, you know, people are sharing, you know, very personal things. And, you know, oftentimes I think we kind of associate that with a very sort of face-to-face, small type of group environment rather than something that's on the Zoom meeting.
Yeah, it starts with the energy of the group. When we come together for one of the networking events, I mean, there is just so much energy, and that is noticed throughout the event. So we look forward to continuing to expand the reach with that.
Well, speaking of events, I was scrolling through my social media, and I noticed that the last meeting that you had, at least the last one I saw, was a collaboration with ILTA. I think ILTA being the International Legal Technology Association. And I think there may have been another one or two organizations in there as well. How did that go?
Yeah, it was such, I'm just so grateful for this partnership. And a huge thank you goes to Joy Heath Rush, who's the CEO of ILTA, and Michelle Gassmeyer, Catherine Monti, and Nita Sanger, who really helped bring our two organizations together. And it's ILTA's got an amazing women's community called Women Who Lead, and came together to bring what is our first series, The Stories of Strength. And the approach that we both went in with this partnership is there's no reason to compete. We each have, you know, women's organizations and communities. It's not about competing. It's about collaborating and growing together. And again, kind of going back to when you get incredible women together, we're just stronger together. So that's how we approach it. And the first event that we had, we were really just incredibly lucky to have Donna Payne, who within the legal industry is widely known. She brought forward to us and discussed with us a really important topic about building your personal brand. And she brought forth so many amazing and incredibly important tips that we need to be thinking about. An example, it's about being mindful. You know, your personal brand, how do you present yourself? Everything from in-person to your digital presence. The message being, you are in control of your own narrative. You own your story. And so how do you develop that? And what's the story that you want to tell? We had a couple of individuals, one Carrie Caffrey from Davis Wright Tremaine, and then Samantha Cirillo from ILTA, who have been working with Donna on their personal brands, and lucky that they shared their journeys on, you know, how they're starting to build their brand. It's having an important topic, one that we can learn from, but then hearing stories, I mean, that just like jumpstarts the whole event. And it was, you know, people just talking about what they're doing. Or they ask questions about, what do you think if I did something like this? And they could get direct advice right away. So that was our first one. We're super excited for that's our launch, but we'll be collaborating more coming this September.
Well, that sounds super, super exciting. So tell us what other plans you have for I Will going forward. How can people listening to the podcast get involved?
Yeah, as far as getting involved, You can connect with me on LinkedIn and send me a message, and we will add you to our distribution list. We send out our event notices through an email distribution list, as well as we've got our LinkedIn posts that talk about how to sign up and get involved. It's as easy as that. Our plans moving forward. So I spoke about the partnership with ILTA's Women Who Lead. We also have another partnership that I'm super excited about, and that is with an organization called The Fourth Floor. And it's out of New York, and it's focusing on bringing together GCs and women founders and how to get on boards. So we are having an event in September in partnership with The Fourth Floor. The event is Board Bootcamp. So if you've ever wondered about how to get on a corporate board or what do you need to do, that's the event to attend. It's some really great advice and information, as well as female founders will be at that event looking for members for their boards. So it's a really great opportunity just to learn more and get involved right away. Another partnership that I'm excited about is with a fashion designer out of New York. Her name is Aisha, and she went through her business, went through quite a bit through the pandemic, and she's had to rebuild her business. We've partnered with anything from I Will and purchasing of her product. She's giving back a percentage of that to I Will Accelerate. So how can we help support her? And she's giving back, supporting us. It's all about women supporting women. So those are a couple of partnerships. And then we are really excited to announce our first in giving back through I Will Accelerate. So we'll be opening up very soon. Women founders or women wanting to launch their businesses, how they can send in their pitch. And we will be awarding that first grant very soon. So a couple of exciting things coming up.
I was gonna say, sounds very exciting.
So, yeah.
Well, Andrea Markstrom, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. This is great.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
So Marlene, I'm not sure how she manages to do all of what she does, but I'm glad she does, and I'm glad that there's a foundation like I Will out there helping.
Yeah, I really appreciate Andrea and all she's doing, and I look forward to seeing what the next chapter will bring.
Yeah, I kind of want to be a fly on the wall for the women in on the board meeting that's coming up there. So
yeah, me too. I think that's going to be a really good one. So before we go, we want to remind listeners to take the time to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate and review us as well. If you have comments about today's show or suggestions for a future show, you can reach us on Twitter at @GayBauerM or at Glambert, or you can call the Geek and Review hotline at 713-487-7270 or email us at geekandreviewpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David DeSica. Thank you, Jerry.
And I hear Jerry's got a new album coming out in October, so
really?
Everyone stay tuned.
That's great. That's wonderful news.
All right. Bye, Marlene.
Okay. Bye-bye. Stay safe.